This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The price of oil perks up. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The price of crude oil this morning spiked upward, a reversal of its big slump this month. This after members of the oil producers' cartel OPEC signaled they could cut producing. The Saudi oil minister told a conference in Abu Dhabi today, quote, "We need to do whatever it takes." While consumers like low oil prices, producers and fossil fuel companies do not. Marketplace's Jed Kim has the background.
For a while, most people were forecasting a crunch for crude and higher prices. Ellen R. Wald is president of Transversal Consulting.
Analysts had been saying that they expected much more oil to come off the market, and the United States had been signaling a very, very harsh rhetoric and policy.
But then, at practically the last minute, the Trump administration granted waivers to a handful of countries, including China. They can continue buying oil from Iran for 3 months without repercussions. And overall, pumping's increased.
We've had upbeat production reports from OPEC, from Russia, and also from the U.S.
Sandy Fielden is with Morningstar. He says on top of all this extra supply, continuing trade disputes have put a damper on demand for oil.
And now we're looking at the prospect of some production restraint in order to support higher prices before the year end.
Curtailing production will likely be top of the agenda for OPEC members when they meet formally next month. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Right now, oil is up 1.2% in Europe and up 0.6% in New York, 60.53 here. The Walt Disney Company is doubling down on the streaming media business. CEO Robert Iger announced it'll be called Disney Plus during a call with investors about its quarterly results. It'll put Disney in direct competition with Netflix and Amazon. There's an echo from the past year, as Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
Disney and new acquisition Fox own some of today's most lucrative brands, Marvel, Star Wars, Avatar, Planet of the Apes. But last year, CEO Bob Iger likened the streaming service to a more classic property.
I think you have to think about it like you think about our theme parks.
Only by walking through those Disney-branded gates can you access the company's rides. Likewise, Disney Plus will exclusively offer the company's films and TV shows online. That takes away content from its biggest rival, Netflix. After all, you can't ride on It's a Small World at Universal Studios. Entertainment consultant Peter Chatti thinks that will hurt Netflix with an important group of Disney's customers.
Kids like to watch the same thing over and over and over again. And that could be like the Star Wars movies, the Pixar movies, Marvel Universe. That's a big deal.
Disney and Fox films made up about 40% of U.S. box office sales this year. Another indication their departure will be painful for Netflix. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Checking markets, the 100 share index in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed, with the Dow future down 0.2%. The U.S. bond market is closed to observe Veterans Day. Just looking here online at a cigarette ad from 1967, green pack of Pall Malls in a dewy green forest. Come to the forest fresh taste of menthol, it says. Well, the New York Times is reporting the federal government could soon ban menthol cigarettes as part of its new strategy to stop flavored electronic cigarettes, which are especially attractive to young would-be smokers.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before.
More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to the government decision that affects every woman, man, and child in America when the Federal Reserve tinkers with interest rates. Now, next month, right between Hanukkah and Christmas, when you might not be paying much attention, the Fed is likely to raise rates for the fourth time this year. Now, in making that decision, a key measure for the Fed is inflation, which has been running close to what the policymakers regard as perfect, a rate of 2.3% this year. But let's look at that target. It's popular in public policy to say you get what you measure, but there's an economic lesson from history, Soviet history, that gives that idea an instructive twist. It's about what happens when government sets a specific target. Chris Farrell is Marketplace's senior economics contributor. Tell me about the old Soviet target that produced a whole lot of too small to use. What was it?
Nails.
Nails, like carpenters used to join wood. Government said, make this number of nails. What happened?
Well, they made a lot of nails, really small, useless nails. But they met the target.
Now, I love a good slice of history, but you think these nails inform one of the biggest considerations on today's economic agenda?
Absolutely. And it was raised by Randall Quarles, who's a new member of the Federal Reserve. He talked about Goodhart's Law. What the law says, when the Fed picks a favorite measure to tell us what's going on with the economy, it stops being useful. If the Fed is saying inflation is our gauge, well, does that mean it's not as good a gauge as it used to be?
Because the Fed is hell-bent on making inflation somewhere near 2%, right? And, you know, maybe that's not the great goal.
Well, this is the thing. So he's a central banker, and he said that the economy is spot on. And what he looked at is inflation is contained. Unemployment rate is low. The economy continues to grow. But then he raised this question. Well, what if the basic signs that inflation remains contained despite the continued growth in the economy? What if it's not telling us anything about the state of the economy, whether it's overheating or whether there's a lot of slack, but it's telling us something else?
All right. But I like a good metric. I'm sure the Fed likes a good metric. If it wasn't just inflation, what might be an alternate?
Well, they're looking at things like leverage ratios. How much debt is going on in our society, in our economy? Right now, what they seem to be focusing on is corporate debt, and particularly in the junk bond market. Is that a measure? And consumers have been taking on a lot of debt. And what about the student loans? So credit seems to be a big part of the discussion. But nonetheless, if you look over the past three decades, David, it's really been a discussion about inflation, and we all still talk about inflation. And if you're looking at the inflation numbers, this economy has room to run.
Well, we'll see if they nail it. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And the dollar is up again with the euro down at 112. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.